On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other with them, others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe. The women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, and wondering to himself what had happened. The intervening section between verses 13 and 34 is the account of the Lord appearing to the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. And we're going to pick up now verse 36, where our Lord comes to the disciples and appears to them in the upper room. Verse 36, "And while they were still talking about this," this being the appearance of our Lord on the Emmaus Road, "Jesus himself stood among them and said unto them, Peace be with you." They were all startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." May the Lord bless that reading to our hearts this morning for his name's sake. Let us come. We serve a glorious, risen, ascended Saviour. It's good to remind ourselves of that fact on this Easter Sunday, but it's good to remind ourselves that every Lord's Day, when we gather here, we're reminding ourselves that we serve a risen Saviour, because it's the very nature of the Lord's Day. It's reminding us of the fact that Jesus is alive forevermore. It's a great joy to be with you on Good Friday, and it's a great joy to be with you again today, to bring God's word, and I trust that it may be a means of helping us in our devotions this morning to open our minds and to, as ever, have a greater appreciation of all that Jesus has done, is doing, and is yet to do. The text that I want to bring to your mind this morning is found in the portion of scripture that we read this morning, and it's in Luke 24, verse 45. Luke 24, verse 45. And when you read these words, he, that is Jesus, opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the greatest events that have ever taken place in human history. The incarnation, that's the coming of Jesus from heaven to earth as a baby. The death of Jesus Christ on that cross of Calvary, which we remembered on Good Friday. Those being the other greatest events. So those three events, as it were, come to us in the history of the world as the greatest events that have ever taken place. And this last one, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, it's good to remind ourselves of that fact and some reason why we should celebrate and remember with great joy and affection that we serve a risen Saviour. Now, in chapter 24, we've read portions of the chapters. Verses 1 to 10 speaks about an open tomb, a stone rolled away, and the disciples who had actually been, had put the Lord's body in the grave, and that the tomb was sealed. We find the stone is rolled away and the body is gone, an open tomb. And then we, to the mystery of the disciples, we've read it there, they couldn't believe it. How has that happened? But then we find in this chapter, there are three opens here. There's the open tomb, and then in verse 13 to 25 that we didn't read, was how the Lord Jesus drew near. It's that lovely story, so I'm sure we're all familiar with it, how Jesus drew near to the two disciples who were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, just 7 miles, and there Jesus drew near, and he started to speak to them, and they spoke to the stranger. They thought he was a stranger, and they said, "Have you heard what's happened?" And Jesus asked the question, "Why are you sad?" And they said, "How haven't you heard, understand? Haven't you heard what's happened? Jesus of Nazareth, we thought, was a man mighty in God, and he's now died." And they were sad. And then we find those lovely words, Jesus, or rather, he opened their minds. So you've got the thought there, the open tomb, and then Jesus talking to the disciples, and he opened their minds. And you remember how it was, he spoke about how he must suffer and be put to death, and on the third day rise again. And then as we come to this last section, which I want us to concentrate on this morning, it's the Lord Jesus drawing near to his disciples at the end of the day. This is on the Sunday evening. You can remember how it was that the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, as soon as the Lord revealed himself to those disciples, the Lord vanished from their sight. And they couldn't believe it. They realized then this was the risen Lord. And so they did a 7 mile dash back to Jerusalem. And they got back and they told the disciples all that had taken place. And the disciples themselves, they'd had messages which had come. They'd seen and they'd heard the women declare that the body's empty, the body's gone from the tomb. And the women were declaring that an angel had spoken to Mary. He is not here. He is risen from the dead. You can imagine the hubbub. Could you imagine the scene as the events of that day were related? And then with the two from Emmaus Road, they were talking about this. And suddenly, Jesus stood amongst them. He stood amongst us. And so we see then the open tomb, the opening of the eyes of the disciples. And here we come to this last phrase, verse 8, opened their minds. And I want us to think about today, because we're living in a world where people haven't got open minds when it comes to considering the Christian faith. We're living in a world, we live in an age in which modern culture is not encouraged to think, and the philosophy and the culture of our society is marked by relativism, which means there is no rights and wrongs. Do whatever pleases yourself. In other words, life is ultimately meaningless. And this, the thoughts of reading the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, feeding the 5 loaves and the 2, given 5,000 by 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that didn't happen. The miracles of the Lord healing the blind, raising the dead, that doesn't happen today. That's all as it myths. That's the majority of people's views. And people today do not think about what's the purpose of life. Why are we here? Where am I going? Where did I come from? Why is there so much evil? We've only got to put our radio on, haven't we? Our ears don't want to hear some of the things which are happening in society today, here in UK, let alone further afield in Gaza and in Russia. And we say, where is God in all this? The world thinks, if there is a God, where is he? And so the vast majority of people are taken up, throw their hands up with pursuit, and they say, just live for yourself. Just look after yourself. Life is meaningless. And so many people today are, as it were, at sea. Are you like that this morning? Are you at sea concerning the meaning and the purpose of life? Well, I've got good news for you. Because in the Christian gospel, you find the meaning and the answer to the meaning of life. The center of the Christian gospel is rooted not in some blind faith about some mystical person who may or may not have lived so many years ago, but it's rooted in history. We need to get that in our minds. It's rooted in history. It's about a real person, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, who demonstrated himself, who declared himself to be God's son. And more than that, he not only declared himself to be God's son, but he demonstrated the reality of this fact by the mighty miracles that he did. And the resurrection, this one who was Jesus of Nazareth, on Good Friday was crucified. And indeed, the Bible makes very plain, he died for our sins. Jesus cried, we were here on Friday, we were thinking of one of the cries from the cross that he says, Father, if it be possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. He said that at Gethsemane. But here he says, my God, Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we saw on Friday, just to recap, the reason why Jesus was forsaken with the Father was so that our sins might be forgiven, so that God, Jesus, might pay the debt that we owe to God. That debt of punishment was all borne in Jesus. And so we can say that Jesus died in our place. In my place, condemned, he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. And that truth is declared in the scriptures. But how do we know that's true? He's died. He's there, buried in the grave. And the grave, we're told, is empty. But you see, the risen Christ, the resurrection, is God's amen to the fact that our sins have been paid for. Our sins have been, that we as men and women are forgiven by the power of Jesus. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans, that Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. You see, Christ's death was followed by the resurrection on the third day from the dead to an endless life. And the resurrection of Christ is the proof that what Jesus said and did that he said he was the Son of God. And he demonstrated it by his life, by his miracles, by his teaching. But he died on the cross. The fact that he was said the Son of Man, he's going to lay down his life for sinners. And the fact that he said all these things come to reality and are proven to be true in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so we need to grasp this fact, that we're declared to be the Son of God with power. There's no greater miracle than to raise a man and woman from the dead. And Jesus Christ was raised bodily from the dead. And he is alive today, even forevermore. Isn't that something we can say hallelujah for? Thank God we can go to the grave. We can go to the reality of knowing loved ones, being with our loved ones. But Christ has defeated death. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Praise God for that. Praise God that your previous pastor, David, was able to preach that gospel for 50 odd years, knowing the reality. But he is alive now forevermore, seeing the beauty of his face. My friends, is that your confidence this morning? Is that your hope? This is the essence of the Christian faith. And it all come about not because of my faith, not because of any works that I have done, but because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And this truth needs to be heralded out to this community that you are in. Men and women here in Rochford, taken up with the small mediocrities of life, need to be reminded and confronted with there is a Savior who came to rescue sinners like me and you. And so the Christian gospel is something which needs to be heralded forth in these dark days in which we live. Now, there are three things I want to do this morning, and particularly three points to bring to point. I want us to notice what Jesus did to the disciples, and in particular, I want to notice that he first came, verse 26, he stood among them and said, peace to you. Peace. And that's the first thing that struck me, that the very first words that Jesus gave to the apostles is peace, shalom. And it reminds us that that's exactly how that is exactly what Jesus Christ has done when he died on the cross. He has brought peace with God through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul could put it like this. He said, therefore, having been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives peace, the peace with God. The Apostle Paul in another part says, now in Jesus Christ, you who were far off have been made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he, that's Jesus, is our peace. For he's broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity of the commandments, and continuing in the ordinances to make himself of two, one new man, so making peace. In other words, just to remind ourselves, he is the gospel. You and I are sinners by nature and by practice, and we deserve God's judgment and punishment, and we're enemies to God, and we have no desire, we want to live for self. And what Jesus has done is that he's dealt with that guilt, he's dealt with that punishment, and we who were far away, we who were once enemies to God, are brought near to the Lord Jesus. Has that happened to you? Can you say, I have peace with God? Not because of anything you've done. You may have come to Rochford Congregational Church for all your life. It makes not an atom of difference. You've been truly blessed in being here. But that won't save you. That won't give you peace, the peace with God. The only way you can know peace with God is by trusting in Jesus, what he says here. Peace be with you. And Christ can give you peace this morning. If you don't know your sins forgiven, if you've got doubts in your mind whether I am a Christian or not, or what is a Christian, you may be struggling to think, what is Christianity all about? Why am I going through all the difficulties I'm going through? Why is there so many problems that I've got in life? My friend, all manner of turmoil may be in your mind, but my friend, the biggest problem you've got is that you're not at peace with God. And Jesus comes to give peace, peace with God, through his death on the cross of Calvary. He gives peace to them. And the second thing I want to notice is that he calms their fears. Verse 37, if you've got your Bible open, it's always good to where the pastor's preaching, have your Bible there, because you need to make sure that what he's preaching is from the scriptures, right? The Bible is the word of God. And so you don't want to have the pastor telling you things which are not from the Bible. It must be rooted in scripture. And so we find verse 37, they were startled, the apostles, they were startled and frightened. They thought they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And then he showed them his hands and his feet. Wow. Can you imagine that scene? I've seen his hands, the bleeding wounds, the wounds of the nails driven into his hands and to his feet. And indeed, this reality, this fact, they've been so startled and alarmed, they're thinking that, well, is this really happening? What doubts and fears must have filled their minds. And so Jesus says, come, touch me, handle me. Look at my marks of my stigmata, the marks of crucifixion. Now, let me just say here, is a mystery here that this side of heaven we will never plumb the depths of. Because how could Christ, Jesus Christ, have a resurrection body be on the one hand, be so unlike our present bodies, because he was able to enter in the room without opening the doors or the windows, because if you remember this story there, while they were still talking, Jesus stood in the middle of the place. Now, if we're all in this room here, if somebody comes in, you know they're going to come through the door or through there, wherever it might be. But if a person suddenly just appeared and never walked down there or never just came from nowhere, well, I think we'd be all a bit perturbed, wouldn't we? Yes, he suddenly appears. And so there is that sense in which he was able to enter the room without opening a door or a window, yet on the other hand, be so similar to our present bodies that the very scars of crucifixion were still evident to be seen. So we've got this mystery here, isn't it? He can show them his hands. He was a real man. He wasn't a ghost. He was real. And they recognized him as Jesus. Now, when Christ died, the disciples' hearts were pierced with a sense of utter helplessness. It was the end. All that they'd hoped for, all that they longed for was gone. And they were in utter gloom and despair and despondency filled their hearts. We can be like that, can't we? We can be often downcast with what life would not seem to affect men and women in the society we're living in. And we can be doubtful about various things that have happened in our lives. But Christ, when Jesus comes, he's come to displace, to remove our fears. He's here today, the risen Lord. What fears have you got this morning? What concerns have you got for your life? My friends, he speaks afresh. Fear not. Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your hand? Look at my hands and my feet. In other words, look at me. I'm mindful coming to my mind. There's a verse in John's Gospel which speaks about, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look to Jesus this morning. He's the Lamb of God, the one who's the final sacrifice, the only one and final sacrifice for our sins. And as we look to him, all the problems of life can fall into their right perspective. And we can see that God is on the throne. And he's working all things out for my good. He brings peace. He gives peace to my heart as I exercise my trust in the Savior. And his Spirit works in my life and heart. We trust, we can see that he loved me and gave himself for me so that I might be saved, not just for one moment of time, but for all time and eternity. Don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. Maybe some of you have got illnesses. Maybe some of you may be suffering from potential terminal illness. And you have fears in your mind. My friend, praise God that Jesus Christ is alive. And he's the one who has come to dispel our fears. I love that verse. I learned it as a child. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not a bit of it. All your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So if the Lord, if then God, there are things in your life which you're fearful about, maybe it's illness, maybe it's an operation, maybe even death itself, you can trust in our Savior because he's the risen Savior. And just as he brought the disciples through, he'll bring you through. Fear not. It's his purpose to give us the kingdom of heaven. And so we can say this morning, that we have a Savior who's come to bring peace. And finally, so we've seen three things thus far. Jesus has came to the disciples to impart his peace. That's what he comes for today. We can have peace with God. You can have peace with God. You can know your sins forgiven as you turn from your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus. And you can be delivered of all fear as we look to him. And finally, I love this phrase there, he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. The work of the Lord Jesus was to open up, to explain the word of God. And it's important to notice here, this is what is written, right? Now he's alluding to the Old Testament. And he says, the Christ, that's the anointed one. The word Christ means the anointed one. And that's the one who has been promised multiple times in the Old Testament that he will suffer and rise again from the dead, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And it's important to recognize that Jesus could say, this is what I told you. The verse before says, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms. Now it's an important verse because it shows us that the Old Testament scriptures are made up of three particular sections. The law of Moses, that's from Genesis to Deuteronomy. The prophets, both the minor and the major prophets, and the Psalms. It speaks of this, the totality of scripture. There are three words there in which Jesus is embracing all that we have recorded in the Old Testament. And he says all that's prophesied of my death, of my coming, of my life and my death is fulfilled in me, that I will suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day. Jesus makes these amazing statements that he's come to fulfill the scriptures. Now, off the top of my head, I didn't look this and went up to get the exact number, but I'm pretty sure that the Old Testament speaks about over 300 prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ's suffering and resurrection. Okay? Not just one or two, but 300. And every prophecy finds its fulfillment in Jesus' death. And you can almost imagine, I wish we had more time, but just to, Jesus opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. I would have loved to have been there on that day, wouldn't you? What a sermon it would have been. How wonderful it would have been that the Lord Jesus would have maybe, he'd take them to different passages of scriptures. Maybe just think of some Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is a prophetic psalm. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. The cry of dereliction. Thinking of the prayer in Samuel. He shall prolong his days. I shall not die but live. Thinking of the verses in Isaiah. Surely he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53. All the passages of scripture. I can imagine Jesus going forth. Maybe it's something good. Let me give you a bit of homework today. Go home this afternoon. Don't put the box on. Start looking at Old Testament scriptures. Read Psalm 22 again. Read Isaiah 53. Read Isaiah 42. Start reading the scriptures and cross-reference it, and you will find more and more the scriptures, the Old Testament, are pointing to Jesus. Vital. He opened their minds. Has your mind been opened? Important question. Do you search the scriptures to see whether these things are so? It's very interesting. I remember a lady coming to the church, and back in the 90s. And she was, inverted commas, a Christian. She thought she was a Christian. But she didn't know, she wanted to know about how did life start? And the particular church she went to, we call it a church for the sake of argument, never spoke about how, about creation. And that particular week, we were doing a kids' club. And we were, the Bible studies for the children, the five-day Bible studies, was on creation, how God made heaven and earth. And she thought, oh, wow, look, I want to go and find out about this. And she came along. I can remember her coming along now with her two kids, 7 and 9 years of age, the two boys. And as it were, we unpacked the creation account. And that was the start of her searching the Bible. Starting to, wow, I didn't understand, I didn't know that. And then she said some other truth would come out. I didn't realize that. And she was starting to search the Bible. And bit by bit, she realized what Jesus really has done for us. In God's truth, Jesus said, in my truth will you see truth. Right? So if you're searching this morning, if you want to know more about the Christian faith, by all means come to one of your deacons or who are serving the Lord here. I'm sure they would be a help to you. But more than anything else, search the Bible. Read the scriptures and ask the Lord, open mine eyes that I may see glimpses of truth you have for me. Place in my hand the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Christ opened their eyes that he must suffer, rise from the dead, and that repentance, it's an important word there, repentance and forgiveness. You've got a coin, heads or tails? A coin isn't a proper coin. We don't use them these days, do we? We've got these simple cards, etc. But we know a coin has heads or tails. There are two sides to that coin. And there's two sides to coming to know Jesus as your Savior. Repent of your sins. Acknowledge you are what you are. You've sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. And that Christ alone is able to save you for time and eternity. He's paid the debt. If we haven't got to that point, that he's paid your debt on that cross of Calvary, you're not a believer. Make it as plain as that. If you think that Jesus' death on the cross was just giving us an example of how we might suffer and go through life, as it were, with having trials and tribulations, my friend, you haven't grasped the gospel. Christ died once for sin, the just one for the unjust, to bring us to God. May God open your eyes to these facts. And may we who know and love him rejoice that we have a Savior who's defeated death and the devil and who's gone to heaven and one day is going to come again and take all his children to be with him for time and eternity. May God open all our eyes and we may be lost in wonder, love and praise. He gives peace. He dispels fears and he instructs the mind. Amen. Thank you that endless is the victory that Christ has won. Oh Lord, fill our hearts with fresh joy this morning as we look to our Saviour, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Meet us now and continue to with us as we gather around your table, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.